It's time for another local hero spotlight with Claire Morneau from CESA, the local hero, folks. And we are at a beautiful hilltop in Amherst at Book and Plow Farm. Book and Plow with Kaylee Brow. It's just too perfect.
Amazing. Thank you.
Where we are sitting, which is this really beautiful structure that overlooks the hill, is this a pergola or an overlook?
Or a pavilion?
This is called a pavilion, yes. Yeah.
I like pergola better.
I mean, well, pergola is a very specific thing that grows up and it's open, but, like, I also can't really tell the difference because I'm not into architecture that way. I just like pretty outside buildings.
So this Book and Plow Farm, what is this little pavilion used for?
This pavilion kind of came out of COVID time and where we had tents everywhere on campus. We had a permanent tent up here, and it was used for, like, meetings and classroom space. And kind of brought up the idea of having a more permanent meeting space that is beautiful, that professors can use for classes, that people can book for meetings for their departments.
And the thing we haven't mentioned yet is that Book and Plow is connected to Amherst College.
Yes, Book and Plow is the campus farm of Amherst College.
When did Amherst get a campus farm because of all the colleges? I think maybe Amherst is the one that I expect to least be involved in agriculture.
That is a good observation. UMass and Hampshire both have student farms. In 2013, a group of students, of Amherst College students, decided that they would like to push for a campus farm. They thought that that was very valuable. So they worked together and kind of came up with a proposal to get a farm started on campus. Amherst College owns, I believe it's like 1,000 acres of land. So they had a lot of land, but no farmers. And they also don't have an agricultural major. I went to UMass and studied farming there. And something that I think is very interesting here is that we get like a very broad range of majors coming up and working on the farm or just kind of using the farm space because we don't have an ag major. So we've got like philosophy majors and math majors and computer science majors all coming up and working together, which I think is a pretty cool aspect of it.
Do they come as part of a volunteer thing that they do? Is it a student job? Do they get credits for farming?
There are lots of different ways that students can kind of connect with the farm. A lot of them do come up in classes. We've got really interesting collaborations with a bunch of different classes. Sometimes it's just kind of an intro that the farm exists and what we do, and kind of have students picking cherry tomatoes just to eat or picking their flowers for their dorm rooms. So that's kind of a big way that students are connecting with the farm is through classes. And then the work study aspect of it is a paid job. And so they're getting work study. And we also have a summer internship program where they're paid to work on the farm.
Because summers are the most heavy work part of farming, and all the students are generally gone.
Yeah, hard to farm in February in Amherst.
What do you grow here and what happens to the food?
We grow less than a lot of other farms, like less variety than some farms around. We are not doing a CSA this year, so it's kind of allowed us to not grow such a huge diversity of crops. But we're mostly focusing on crops that we harvest in the fall when there are tons of students on campus, and also food that the dining hall can use kind of in abundance. So this year we focused on delicata squash, peppers, kale, chard, salad mix. We grow a ton of really delicious cherry tomatoes. Yeah, that sort of stuff that they can use in abundance. And so most of our food, or a lot of our food, goes to the dining hall. And then probably about half, or sometimes maybe more than half, will go to the Amherst Survival Center in season.
How far are you from Amherst College when we're up here on this hill? I kind of came the circuitous back roads, but how long does it take from main campus to get up here to the Book and Plow Farm?
So we are technically on campus still.
Because 1,000 acres.
Exactly. Depending on how quick you walk, it's probably like a 10 to 12 minute walk from the closer edge of campus.
Mm-hmm. And Book and Plow is the name of the farm, Kaylee Brow, who is the assistant farm manager here. Talk about why it's called Book and Plow.
We get that a lot. It's also interesting as we're shifting away from heavy tillage that we still have the word plow in our name. But the emblem of the town of Amherst is a book with a plow on it. So, yeah, just kind of a nod to the town of Amherst and the crest. And I believe the town of Amherst crest is that because we have a lot of agriculture and also a lot of education, and we really value both of them.
You didn't think about changing it to Mammoth Farm?
No, we actually haven't considered that.
Don't. It's fine. In addition to your crops, it looks like there's meadowland being maintained here, too. Is that an active part of the farm that you're watching over with your student workers?
We're not actually doing a lot of student work in those spaces. They're kind of zones that we leave. A lot of it is a wetland at this spot. So we'll do kind of like a routine mowing probably like once a year. This space that we're looking at is planted with perennial native, like pollinator supportive plants. But yeah, for the most part, we have kind of our spaces that we're growing in and then stewarding the other spaces with like low impact, trying to not be in there too much.
You mentioned that you're moving towards a lower tillage system. I'm curious about that process and also just what has changed in the 12-ish years that this farm has been here.
I've been here since 2016, so I've seen the farm in like a lot of different sizes and growing techniques. Yeah, so a lot of what has changed is kind of our focus. When I first started, we were in a lot of local markets, and as we've kind of continued growing and honing what we do, we shifted a lot of the focus to really just focusing on our one market, which is the dining hall, and really kind of choosing crops that they can use well or highlight pretty nicely. But yeah, the growing practices have changed since we've gone down from 19 acres. We're now on about 2 acres. We still use tractors, which is fun, and I enjoy that. But as we learn more about tillage, as we're talking more about like farm practices with classes, and we're facing the realities of climate change, it's feeling important to reduce the amount of tillage that we're doing on the farm. And we're actually participating in a pretty cool experiment with a bunch of other local farms growing in a no-till clover growing method. I don't know if you guys...
clover cover?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. We talked
with
ag.
Yes. Momentum ag. Cool. Well, we are also participating in the Momentum Ag like clover experiment, which
Talk about what that is and why it's important.
So tillage is a thing that you do sometimes when you're farming, which is kind of turning over soil. Generally speaking, it's not great for soil life because they're being exposed to air, which they don't love. Conventional farming or farming as it happens now relies heavily on tillage for preparing beds and weed control and all of those things. And so the idea of not doing tillage has been around forever, but the idea of kind of working it into the systems that we have now is also something that's been around for a long time, but something we've just started working with. So the idea is that you can seed an entire field of clover and really limit your tillage, or the way that we did it, we really limited our tillage just to some strips where we planted our winter squash, and it eliminated a lot of plastic mulch that we used to use growing winter squash. It helped with retaining moisture in the soil, and it was just like an easier transplant, easier harvest. But yeah, generally it's not foolproof. Farming is really difficult. There's like hard seasons for everything, which is why it's really valuable that so many different farms are participating in this with different crops and different soil textures and structures and different, slightly different climates maybe, so that I'm not just reliant on like my one experience growing winter squash this one time in this one season. So we can kind of like share a lot of knowledge that way and learn a lot more about this clover system.
That whole process and idea is something I'm very interested in as a home gardener.
It sequesters carbon at the same time,
yep,
right? Doesn't
yeah.
When you till, it releases the carbon out. But if you've got clover there, it's taking in more of the carbon. It's turning it into oxygen. It's leaving the carbon in the soil. And instead of releasing it back out, it's to be a greenhouse gas. We are at Book and Plow Farm on campus at Amherst College, believe it or not, in a pavilion overlooking the beautiful rolling hills with...
This is the less Lord Jeffries-looking part of the campus.
Right. With Kaylee Brow from Book and Plow and Claire Morneau from CESA. You're in an interesting position as a farmer because I'm assuming you're an employee of Amherst College. So most farmers have to start their own farm business. They have to do that. But you get the benefit of both being a farmer and being an employee at an institution that is well endowed.
That's true, yeah.
Even still now, with all the problems.
Yeah, that's what the endowment is for, everybody. Don't forget that.
Yes, that's true. It is a really different farming job than I've had, or slightly different farming job than I've had in the past. I've worked as part of like an educational nonprofit intern program where I was doing a lot of education. I've worked on relatively large like organic production farms. And yeah, it just is a little bit different. Our season is different. Our labor is different. Our market is different. But yeah, it is also what I've been doing for the past decade. So I don't know any different, you know?
Do you teach with the student? Like, are you in charge of overseeing an entire class that is in conjunction with the farm, or at least some sessions of a class or anything like that?
Does the Five College Consortium do classes here because Amherst doesn't necessarily have directly ag classes?
Definitely some of our students who are very interested in farming will probably benefit from the five college consortium and going maybe to UMass and learning some more like hard skill farming things. But the working on the farm is not part of a class. We collaborate with some professors, but that's more of kind of like a one-off come up to the farm, or we have one professor who's been coming for a couple years that does two labs here doing like a soil survey and kind of a harvesting experience. But yeah, so for the most part, we're not teaching a class, but I'm teaching many different students from many different majors about how to harvest kale and how to harvest lettuce and that sort of stuff.
When a philosophy class comes here, do you get involved in that class?
I have not personally been involved in philosophy classes. We've had dance classes come up, which is really interesting to talk about like ergonomics and how we think about using our bodies in places. We've had Spanish classes come up, in which I don't speak Spanish, but I speak in English and they speak in Spanish about the things that are going on here. But the philosophy classes tend to go and make observations and contemplate without me.
I'm sure it varies a lot, but I'm curious just what your observation is of how students react to this. Do you have a lot of people who come in really excited to see the farm? Do you have people who come in with no exposure to farms whatsoever, and this is sort of an eye-opening experience for them? How does that go?
I think every year at the beginning of the semester, we have a student who just wanders up here and like emerges out of the woods and is like tell
oh,
me
about Narnia.
It.
Has that happened yet?
It did happen.
Well, at the beginning of the school year,
a
lonely freshman wanders up the hill.
Exactly. And then sometimes they're like a worker who recently just started working at a different farm, had that experience where like their first day at Amherst, they like emerged out of the woods, found Book and Plow, worked every semester that they could. So we definitely have students kind of finding the farm that way. Some students will be touring the school before they choose a school and they find out about the farm and they're excited, want to ask a lot of questions. But yeah, some people are coming in with some knowledge. A lot of people sometimes... students just signed up for an econ class and they didn't expect to come up and like top onions or like sort some, you know, they don't necessarily have the same experience as a student who's like super excited about it, but this is a place for everyone to have whatever experience you have here.
You said that the farm was 19 acres before. Can you talk about the decision to shrink the size that you're farming on and what happened to those other 17 acres?
The decision to shrink the farm is kind of like obviously very multifaceted. One big one was that my first year, 2016, when the farm was on 19 acres, it had scaled pretty abruptly from 12 to 19. Mm. And 2016 was also the year of like a historic drought. We didn't get a single drop of rain for 10 weeks. I was doing all of the irrigation. It was very stressful. And so, yeah, that was just a high-stress year. And at that point, this farm was still kind of its own business with ties to the college, but wasn't necessarily a department of the college. And so after that year, it kind of transitioned, and the farmer and I who stayed became college employees. Part of that shrinking was us just being like, 19 acres was actually crazy. And we can't irrigate all of that, so we should not do that again. But yeah, just kind of over time, honing what we're doing, leaning a little bit more into the education side of things, and also just kind of keeping up with demand for the dining hall.
You did mention that now almost all of the food that you're growing here goes either to the Amherst College Dining Hall or to the Amherst Survival Center. Does the culinary folks at the dining hall, do they have a request that they would like more of or less of or this different type of thing so that they can play with it? And do you have that kind of collaborative relationship with the dining hall?
We do, yeah. So at the end, well, sometimes through the season, but specifically at the end of every season, we will sit down with the chefs and the procurement officer who orders the vegetables from us and just kind of go through our season and assess whether something was not being used because our tomatoes were too small, or were they not being used because the dining hall is having to buy pre-sliced tomatoes because of a labor shortage, that sort of thing. Just reflecting on all of our crops, seeing what we could have grown more of, because the dining hall was like using a lot of it. And we tend to get the request to have a gigantic pumpkin patch from one of our chefs, which we have yet to do. But for the most part, we talk through like all of our crops that we grew, ask ideas for things that we could grow more of. Yeah, we grew like a ton of basil for them this year to make some pesto, which was very successful.
Talk about growing flowers on this farm, because, I mean, growing produce is one thing, and then growing flowers is entirely different, and usually that's just done for pleasure or pollinators. So talk about bringing flowers onto Book and Plow.
Yeah, so a lot of what we do is growing vegetables, just kind of like regular organic farming, growing veggies, bring them to Survival Center, to the dining hall. And the other side of what we do is really like cultivating a very beautiful and calming space for staff and faculty and primarily students and neighbors to come and just be outside and be around beautiful things. Since I started, we've had a pretty robust flower garden that we maintain. It's very beautiful right now. We time it so that it's like peak when students are coming back. They can all go and pick flowers and bring them back to their dorm rooms. But yeah, flower growing is, we save that seed order till the end. We have to order all of our vegetable seeds first, and then I get to get excited about all the pictures in the seed catalogs of the flowers. It's very beautiful, and it's really, even if I'm not always making bouquets, just having flowers at work that I'm walking by regularly is just such a calming and peaceful part of it.
I'm curious about what your hopes are for the future. Like, when you think about the next dozen years for this farm, what do you envision?
Wow, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I think that the first thing I thought of when you said that is continuing to collect data. We've been working with an environmental studies class where students are coming out mostly to get the experience of using soil harvesting techniques that they're learning in class, like in real life, in this kind of like practice space. But over time, we're kind of like collecting nutrient data from our soil. So it's maybe like a little bit of a boring answer to continue collecting data. But
it's a very Amherst College answer.
Yeah. It's also a really interesting resource because not every farm has that much data about their specific farm coming back to them in real time constantly.
Well, not many students so eager to give you the data.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes you're mid-carrot harvest and it's September and you're like, I'm definitely going to remember how good these carrots were or how bad these carrots were, whatever thought I had about them. And it's actually really hard to remember stuff while you're actively farming. Sometimes data collection can be the hardest part of farming, and just having the support there is really helpful. And yeah, also just really hoping to continue to collaborate with other classes. Hopefully in 12 years, every single person who works at the college and also goes to the college will know that the farm exists and is here for them.
We can shout from the hilltops here because they probably can hear us. Ricola!
Ricola!
Oh, is that way? I shouted the wrong way.
It's okay. It'll bounce off the hills and come back to them. We're at Book and Plow. What's your favorite book about farming?
My favorite book about farming, or one that was very formative when I was first learning about farming, was Do Nothing Farming by Masanobu Fukuoka. Yeah, just the way that he writes about farming is rather poetic, and the idea that the point of it is not toiling and just working as hard as you possibly can to eke vegetables out of soil, I think was really helpful to read.
Is it okay when non-students just wander onto the farm?
Only if they have a book or a plow.
Exactly.
Or a tape recorder.
I think that the very cool thing about the farm being a part of Amherst College campus is that it looks very different than Amherst College campus. We like to say that it's a very porous kind of border and that lots of people come and it's very nice to see them. We have a lot of people walking their dogs. We have a lot of people just walking up this hill, I think, for the aerobic exercise. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we love seeing neighbors and community members around and chatting to people.
Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy farming day to sit in this pavilion, not Book and Plow with us.
I mean, any chance I get to sit on a giant wood bench, I'm going to take it. In the sun, no less.
That's a nice bench.
It's a good bench, yeah. Someone who works down and he does like the set building for all the plays on campus.
Oh, cool.
And sometimes he'll have something that's like really beautiful, like these benches, and he'll bring them up the hill instead of disposing of them, I suppose.
You can drop them off at my house next time.
They're really heavy.
Yeah, I know. I found that out when I tried to move this closer, and I'm like, I'm staying on the stair.
Got to keep my eye on you, yeah. In the morning, keep my eye on you. In the morning and plow. Get by.